Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Occasionally I get a call from whoever's leading the singing wanting to know what my subject is going to be. Rhett didn't do that, and so I'm just going to change my subject to what we've sung about this morning. So we're going to read from a different passage, but what, and it's okay, Rhett, that Rhett, I don't mean that as a derogatory that Rhett didn't call me. That's fine. I like the selection of his songs, and I have a lesson that I was intending to preach tonight, and I'll just preach it this morning, and I believe and hopefully it will be beneficial to us. We do appreciate all who are here. Encourage you to listen as we study from the Word of God. Let's just go ahead and get into our study. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I don't have on the screen these verses, but I'd like to read beginning in verse 8 through verse 14. The Apostle Paul writes and says, "We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. But since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, 'I believed and therefore I spoke,' we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that He who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up by Jesus and will present us with you." What I want to do is to look at the phrase that the Apostle Paul mentions, or the phrase that he speaks in verse 14 of this chapter. Paul is discussing their lives and how challenging their lives were. And yet, as he describes each challenge, he says, persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. And then he comes down to verse 13. "But since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, 'I believed and therefore I spoke.'" That's a quotation from Psalm 116. "We also believe and therefore speak." Belief must be followed by a therefore. We also believe and therefore speak. Unless our belief is followed with a therefore, then it avails nothing. If our belief is nothing more than an agreement of certain facts, then that belief doesn't amount to anything. But we believe, and therefore we do something. And in this case, what the Apostle Paul says is, we believe, and therefore we speak. We've just sung songs that talk about our taking the gospel into the world, teaching those who are around us. Faith becomes active when we do something. It motivates us. It causes us to be obedient. And in the context here, it has to do with the apostles. Paul is comparing the false teachers, the Judaizing teachers, with the apostles and their attitude towards spiritual things. We believe, Paul says, and therefore we speak. Let's talk first of all about the faith of the apostles. Paul said, "We believe." And the apostles had every right to believe. Their faith was based on very strong evidence. Let me just mention a few things. They had seen Jesus. They had seen His miracles. He had made the lame to walk, the blind to see, the dumb to speak. He had healed the sick. He had walked on water. He had calmed the sea with three words, "Peace, be still." He fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and they had 12 baskets left over. He raised Lazarus from the dead. After he had been dead for 4 days, he cast out devils. They had seen Jesus and His miracles. They had heard His teaching. I think of the statement that is made by John when, in John chapter 6, when people began walking away, leaving Jesus, and there were just a few left, and Jesus said to them, "Shall you also go away?" And Peter's response was, I think I said John, Peter's response was, "Lord, Thou hast the words of eternal life. To whom shall we go?" They had heard Jesus' teaching. They knew He had the words of eternal life. They had gone into the Mount of Transfiguration, that is, three had. Peter, James, and John went with Jesus. And they heard the voice from heaven saying, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." They had watched His composure in the garden and during His trial. Judas comes with a mob. And Judas comes and he kisses Jesus. And Jesus just simply says, as the mob is seeking for Him, "I am He." And they took Him. And Peter was ready to fight. Cut off the ear of Malchus. Jesus healed the ear. He tells Peter, "You put up your sword." He's taken and he's put on trial. At least, it was a mockery of a trial. But his composure during the trial, he did not fight back. And they took him and they carried him to die on the cross. One was there witnessing along with Jesus' mother his death on the cross. They watched his composure as he was falsely accused, as he was put on this mockery of a trial, as he was carried to Golgotha, and as he was crucified and as he died. They had examined the evidence after his resurrection. They examined both the tomb and later they talked with him. Now Thomas, he didn't believe. In John chapter 20, verse 25, the Bible says, "The other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' So he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.' And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, 'Peace to you.' He then said to Thomas, 'Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing.' And Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.'" They had seen Him ascend into heaven. They were there talking with Jesus, and then He begins to rise. And He's taken up out of their sight into the clouds. And then the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2 verse 2 says, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." They knew that He was the Christ. They believed and they were confident in that faith. I want us just to consider 3 statements of their faith. The first one in 2 Peter chapter 1. Listen to what Peter says beginning with verse 16. "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And when we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with Him, and we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Peter says, I was there. I was an eyewitness. I heard the voice. John writes this in John chapter 19, beginning with verse 32. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true. And he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may believe. For these things were done that the Scripture should be fulfilled, not one of his bones shall be broken. And again another Scripture says, they shall look on him whom they pierced. I believe it was John, the other disciple. One of the disciples was with the mother of Jesus. He saw what happened. He believed what happened. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to read verse 14 and then skip down to verse 16 and read through chapter 5, verse 1. Here's what Paul has to say. Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Verse 1 of chapter 5, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. They were so full of faith that it overflowed with words. They could not hold back. They believed. Therefore, they spoke. On one occasion, the apostles were threatened. You remember in Acts chapter 4, beginning with verse 18, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Threaten them? That didn't stop them. We saw, and we can't help but speak the things which we saw and which we heard. Later they were arrested. In Acts chapter 5, verse 28, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? That's what the Jewish council said. And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And you drop down to verse 42, they are beaten, released. And verse 42 says, and daily in the temple and in every house they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. They believed it. And they spoke it everywhere. They preached it everywhere. In synagogues, in the temple, in governor's mansions, in prisons, in marketplaces, on Mars Hill, by a riverside, in a chariot, walking in the way, and on ships. They preached it everywhere they went, and they preached it to everybody that would listen. To the rich and the poor, the mighty and the lowly, the proud and the humble, the good and the bad, the Jew and the Gentile, the moral and the immoral. They preached it and preached it and preached it to adulterers, to drunkards, to sorcerers, to homosexuals, to kings, to governmental officials, to sea captains, to jailers, to beggars. They believed and therefore they spoke and they spoke and they spoke. They couldn't stop. They had to tell it. What did they speak? Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning with verse 7, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him." Briefly, what they spoke was the message that the Spirit gave them. Paul refers to it in this passage as the hidden message, that is, the mind of God. It had not been revealed. But now it had been revealed. And that's what they were speaking. Notice what he says in verse 10 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. "But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit." That is this message. "For the Spirit searcheth all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." What did they speak? They spoke the message that was hid in the mind of God as revealed by the Spirit. They believed the message. They believed the power of the message. And they spoke it. And they dare not speak anything else. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, Paul says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." They spoke the message. That was the only thing they spoke. They believed. There was power in God, in the message that He had given. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek." They believed and therefore spoke. And because they believed, they were beaten. We've already seen they were threatened. They were arrested. They were scourged. They were put in prison. They were mocked. They were victims of lies and deceit. Oftentimes where they went, there were mobs and uproars. Shipwreck. Poverty. They were hungry. They had no certain dwelling place. And in spite of that, they spoke it and spoke it and spoke it. And finally, the great majority of them were put to death. They believed, and therefore they spoke. What I've tried to express, and I want to try to pull it all together at this point, is that I think what we have identified is the most important element in effective teaching. And that is faith. They believed, and therefore they spoke. We have to know something in order to become a Christian. But if we know enough to become a Christian, then we know enough to teach someone else what they need to do to become a Christian. And if a person is full of faith, if a person believes what they have obeyed, and you believe you've been saved from your sins, and you came from a world of no hope to a world of hope, nobody will keep you from sharing that with others. If we truly believe, and not only will you be able to share it, you'll be able to do it effectively. In John chapter 4, in verse 29, we see a statement made by the Samaritan woman. Jesus was at the well and He meets this woman. And what I'm able to see here, He has one conversation with her. And she leaves and she goes, and here's what she says. Come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? She had to tell somebody about it. And she hit the nail on the head. Yes, He was the Christ. In Luke chapter 2, we see some things said about the shepherds who were in the wilderness. Beginning with verse 8, Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen Him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. When the shepherds saw Him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. I think of the leper in Mark chapter 1 verse 45. Jesus had told him, don't tell anybody about this. Verse 45 says, "However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction." Jesus said, don't tell. I'm not condoning what the leper did. The leper, he couldn't help but tell. The Lord had cleansed him. He had made him pure once again. And my point is this. These people didn't know much. They had never taken any lessons in how to teach other people. They didn't have a PowerPoint to put things before other people. But they were effective. When we get full of faith, we will teach others effectively. By nature, we talk about those things that we are excited about. Golfing, fishing, camping, baseball, basketball, tennis, running, cars, building. things that we are excited about and that we love, we freely and effectively talk to others about that. And when we are excited and full of faith, we will share that with others. Whatever we know. And we'll continue to study so we can share more and we can share more and we can share more. If you cannot sing like angels, if you cannot preach like Paul, you can tell the love of Jesus. You can say He died for all. I may not be able to do certain things. Let me rephrase that. There are some things I just cannot do. But I can tell others what Jesus Christ has done for me, forgiving me of my sins, and me having hope in this life, and the hope of one day being with Him forever. If I believe that, then I can tell others about that. What should we speak? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Why do we speak as the oracles of God? Because we are glorifying God through Jesus Christ. And when I speak anything else, I'm not glorifying God. That's why we speak as the oracles of God. And we are fortunate. Not only did the apostles speak it, that is, they spoke the mind of God, but it is written down for us. And we are to speak it. Not what we feel in our hearts. Not something that will glorify us. But we're to speak the gospel. I'm convinced. I know I'm standing before people who believe the message. And who believe the power of the message. What we have to do as we believe that is we have to get excited, full of faith. And when we do that, we won't have to worry whether or not we're going to be doing, if you want to call it personal work or whatever you want to call it. Not a soul could keep us from doing that. Turn to number 168 in your songbook. Please. 168. Make that 167. I said 168, but 167, I have the right number here on the screen. We saw thee not, but the chorus says, but we believe. No, we saw thee not when thou didst come in this poor world of sin and death, nor yet beheld thy cottage home in that despised Nazareth. But we believe thy footsteps trod its streets and plains, thou Son of God. But we believe thy footsteps trod its streets and plains, thou Son of God. We saw thee not when lifted high amid that wild and savage crew, nor heard we that imploring cry, forgive they know not what they do. But we believe the deed was done
that shook the earth and veiled the sun. But we believe the deed was done that shook the earth and veiled the sun. We gaze not in the open tomb where once thy mangled body lay, nor saw thee in that upper room, nor met thee on the open way. But we believe that angel said, why seek the living with the dead? But we believe that angel said, why seek the living with the dead? We walk not with the chosen few who saw thee from the earth ascend, who raised to heaven their wandering view, then low to earth all prostrate bend. But we believe that human eyes beheld that journey to the skies. But we believe that human eyes beheld that journey to the skies.
That song expresses faith in the facts about which we've been talking. We do believe. I don't think there's a person in this audience who doesn't believe those facts about which we've just sung. And the purpose in our lesson is to encourage us all to make our faith and belief in those facts a motivating factor to cause us to share that with others. We hold in our hands the only thing that will change the lives of people and save their souls. The only thing. And we need to be busy sharing that with others. Let's speak it. And let's speak it. And let's speak it. And let's not be ashamed. And whatever may come, let's be faithful to God. Teach His Word. Be obedient to it ourselves. And others, too, can have opportunity to be a Christian. We're going to sing the song that has been announced. Really, we've not talked about what a person needs to do to become a Christian. You have to be a Christian before you can go forth and effectively tell others concerning Jesus. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Are you willing to make that confession with your mouth? Turn in repentance from your sins, saying, no longer am I going to do what I want to do, but I'm going to submit to God. And whatever that is, I'm going to make that my purpose in life. Are you willing to allow someone to bury you in the waters of baptism, immerse you in water for the remission of your sins? The Lord will forgive you. He will add you to His church. You'll be among the saved. But you know what? That's the beginning. And we have to impress upon our minds, that is the beginning. It's not as if we've hit a home run when we've obeyed the gospel. Now, we have to obey the gospel to become a child of God. But we've just entered the game. And what we must do is to study God's Word, learn it, be faithful to it, obedient to it, serving God, serving others. And as a Christian, if we're not doing that, we need to change that. We need to repent of that. Maybe that there's something that's private that you just need to pray to God for forgiveness. Do that. Acknowledge your sins to Him. We acknowledge all of our sins to God. It may be that there's something that is public in nature that you need to make right. If that's the case, we would encourage you to do that as we stand and as we sing.